In the Mist by Mary E. Penn. 1.
Yes, Winnie, I say it, and I mean it. You are a cruel coquette. You know that I love you more than life itself, as and yet you take a pleasure in tormenting me.
It is you who torment me with your jealous suspicions, Noel, and your temper is simply unbearable. I warn you that you may try me too far.
This fragment of dialogue reached my ears one autumn afternoon, as I, the vicar of Penraven, was returning home across the heights after a long round of parochial visits. The speakers stood facing each other on the dusty, sunburnt turf at the edge of the cliff, too much absorbed in their quarrel to notice my approach. Not that my presence would have greatly disconcerted them had they been aware of it. I had known both Winifred Carlyon and Noel Tremaine from childhood, had christened them, and should probably have the pleasant task of marrying them, if all went well, though the course of their true love did not seem to be running very smoothly at this moment. It must be admitted that there was some ground for their mutual reproaches. Tremaine, who was a clever young mining engineer, had the quick temper which often goes with a warm heart, and the very strength of his affection made him jealous and exacting. As for Winifred, her best friends could not deny that she was somewhat wayward and capricious, though so thoroughly lovable withal that those little failings, which time would certainly correct, might well be forgiven. She was the orphan granddaughter and spoilt darling of the wealthiest man for miles round Penraven, old Michael Carlyon, the shipowner, and was, besides, as pretty a girl as you would meet in a summer day, with a complexion like a May rose, and eyes of the wonderful blue that seems peculiar to Cornwall, the deep, limpid, changeful hue of the western sea, whilst she never smiled but to reveal a set of teeth dazzlingly white and even. Noel's stalwart form and handsome, vivacious, olive-tinted face made a picturesque contrast to her delicate beauty. A better matched young couple could not have been found in the duchy. Just now, however, neither of my favourites appeared to advantage. The girl was flushed and defiant, her companion white with anger. Hitherto their disagreements had merely been the renewing of love, but in this there appeared to be something more serious. "What, quarrelling again?" I exclaimed, looking at them severely over my spectacles. "When will you two learn to agree?" They started and turned, both looking rather guilty.
"Noel has insulted me, Mr. Glynn,"
Winnie declared hotly.
"I have not, unless truth is an insult," asserted Noel. "I said that you..."
"There's no need to repeat it,"
interposed Winnie.
"Excuse me," he returned. "As you have appealed to Mr. Glynn, it is only fair he should know what has passed. I said it was scandalous that you should encourage other men's attentions when you are my betrothed wife."
Winnie laughed provokingly, though her fingers trembled as she trifled with a spray of heather at her breast.
"Is no one else even to look at me without your permission?" she asked.
"No one shall make love to you if I know it," he answered between his teeth.
"And pray, who has done so?"